Our scripture lesson today comes from 2 Peter. Peter, of course, is the apostle of Jesus among the inner workings, one of the leaders of the disciples, along with James and John. Peter was one of those. As we know, Jesus used Peter to build the church. And Peter writes two letters that we find in the Holy Scripture. And today we're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. I'm going to be reading today from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Listen now for the Word of God. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share this same precious faith that we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and our Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Notice, church, it says you have everything you need. We have received all this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share of His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patience, endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted and blind, forgetting what they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those who God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of the Lord and of our Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. And it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown to me that I must soon leave this earthly life, so I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I'm gone. This is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Almighty and gracious God, we thank you for these words that Peter wrote, words that are helpful and useful. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to hear them with fresh eyes, or see them with fresh eyes and hear them with fresh ears. Speak to us in a powerful way this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I looked it up, and I discovered that the word remind or remember or variation of it can be found in Holy Scriptures 1,200 times. That's a lot, right? Mm-hmm. 200 times it is a direct appeal to do something. I want you to hear this today. I think the word remember or remind emphasizes that God is faithful to us. And I think it also quite reminds us that we forget sometimes, don't we? When I was a kid and I was about to go to somebody else's house, whether it was for an hour or two or for the weekend to spend the night with a friend, my mother would say, John, remember who you are. In other words, don't embarrass me. Mind your manners. Do what you're told. Some preacher many years ago brought a new slant to that and said, remember whose you are. You've heard that before, haven't you? So whose are you? Well, you are God's. You belong to God. We are His children. We are His sons and daughters. This morning we're going to start a sermon series. I had planned on 3 weeks. Now it's 2, but that's all right. In getting ready for Lent, I want to preach on the Transfiguration story on that third Sunday. And so I want us to take a quick look at 2 Peter. Peter, of course, again, is Simon Peter, of whom we know is one of the inner leaders of the disciples, along with James and John. He writes 2 letters that we can find in our Holy Scriptures. You can sense from his letter that it's near the end of his life. You can hear the stress in his voice almost. Jesus has told him that he's not going to be around very much longer. Verse 14 says, "For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life." If you knew that your days were numbered, that your time was almost over, in a sense, if you knew you were in hospice care and you had a chance to say something or write something, what would you say or what would you write? I would want to have some meaningful conversations with people that I love. I would want to write some things down, maybe some family history. That's what I think that we are getting here in 2 Peter. He knows his time is limited. He wants those who are reading this letter to understand important things. If you were to pull out the envelope, it wouldn't say to the Christians in Philippi or Colossae or Corinth. Instead, it would say, "To whom it may concern." Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So as Christians, it is written to Christians of his day, and it is. Here's the way the word works. It follows us to our day too. These words mean something today. Peter says, "I'm writing this to those who share the precious faith that we have been given." That's us. We share that faith. As to the letter itself, well, I want to tell you there's nothing really new in it. Nothing novel, nothing new under the sun. Peter's purpose, I think, in writing this letter is to remind the flock of what they already know. And so near the end of it, I hope that you'll read this with me again or listen. He writes, "Therefore I will remind you of these things, even though you already know them, and are standing firm in them. And it's only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must leave this earthly life. So I work hard to make sure that you always remember these things after I'm gone." Remind, reminding, remember. There it is. There is a guy who wrote a book. His name is Jeffrey Authors. Wrote a book on preaching that I'm going to read soon. It's called Preaching as Reminding. And he says the task of the preacher is to remind the Christians what they already know, what they've already been taught. But maybe they have forgotten for one reason or another. Sometimes, are y'all with me today? Sometimes we forget very important things. Let me give you an example. Years ago, you all know we have 2 daughters. Annie Grace was born in 2001, Julie in 2006. Between Annie Grace and Julie, we experienced a miscarriage. We went to the doctor thinking just here's a regular ultrasound, and the ultrasound person at the end of it said, "I'm sorry." And the doctor came in, Paul Wendell. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to meet Paul Wendell, but he is an amazing guy. To this day, Julie is 19 years old. He could see me and call me by name and mention the girl's name. He's an amazing man. He came in after he had heard the news, and he says, "John, Susie, I want to remind you that you already have a daughter at home. I want to remind you that you have faith." He said, "John, you preach this stuff all the time. I just want you to remember that God loves you." It helped us through a tough spot to be reminded that God was with us. Amen?
Amen.
I want to remind you of the same thing, too. Soren Kierkegaard once said something like this about preachers. He said, "It is our job to stand in the wings of the theater and call out the lines that you might have forgotten to remind us of our lost lines. I like that. I think that's what Peter is doing here. He's reminding us of things that we may have forgotten. You remember the scripture says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy? Sometimes we forget that. Today's the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Paul wrote, some say a letter, some say preached a sermon that we call Hebrews, and he says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, because sometimes when you do that, you're entertaining angels. Don't forget. Sometimes we need friendly reminders, don't we? Facebook reminds me that it's your birthday. You think, how did my pastor remember that? Facebook told me, right? I have a phone in my back pocket, and it has a calendar app on it, and it sends me reminders of places that I need to be sometimes. Holly, where's Holly? Holly's in the nursery. She heard me say this before. Holly is good to come to my office and say, John, remember you have an appointment this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Everyone needs a Holly, I think, and a Laura and a Kira. We all need a reminder. In verse 3, Paul says this, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need to lead a godly life. Not something we need. He says everything that we need. And then he gives us 7 qualities. And so if y'all would just kind of get comfortable, I'm going to preach 7 sermons. I'm going to mention these 7 just very briefly. He says, if we work on these, then we're doing good. Here's the first. Goodness. Goodness. What is goodness? It means to be kind and helpful and gracious. Goodness is one of the fruits of the Spirit that Paul writes about in his letter to the Galatians. Next is knowledge. Knowledge isn't just knowing about Jesus. It's knowing Jesus, right? And so Paul once said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Not that he was born here and that he lived here. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Here's the third one. How are we doing? Okay. Self-control. I could use a little work here. I want you to know that it's dangerous for me when I go to Walmart and buy a little bag of Hershey Kisses. Doc, it's not good for me when I do that. I can go through those pretty quickly, within 24 hours. I have no self-control, so we have to say, don't buy that stuff. Self-control is something that has power over you. And here Peter's saying, you need to regain that power, have self-control. Here's the fourth one, perseverance. I like that one. I have that one too. It's patience. It means keep on keeping on. The next one, number 5, is godliness. What's that? Well, it's the ability to see in 2 different directions at the same time. This is one of the emphasis of the United Methodist Church that I really love. It is personal holiness, our relationship with God, and our love for neighbor. That's the reason we do things like backpack ministries and feeding ministries and helping others through all the ministries that we participate in. Godliness, that's what it means. Social holiness is another name for it. Then comes brotherly love. That means that we care for one another in the flock. It might mean that our mothers aren't the same, but we're still brothers and sisters in Christ. And then finally, the last one he mentions is a love that we call agape love. It's unconditional love. Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians 13 when he says love is patient and kind, and it's not arrogant or boastful or rude. It doesn't keep a record of rights and wrongs. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. And this is quite the list. And Peter is clear. The more we grow in these things, the better we are for the causes of Jesus Christ. I read somewhere that if you want to be good at something, you have to practice it. Coach, do we have those boys and girls running? Yeah, they have to practice that. I hear if you want to be good at something, you have to spend 10 to 15 minutes a day at it. I read this week that if you want to be proficient at something, that means really good at it, you have to spend some 10,000 hours doing that. 10,000 hours. So I did the math. I did the math. I write a sermon every week since 1994. I ought to be better at this. I ought to be proficient at this by now, but still I struggle every week with what, Lord, will we say to your children? Here's the truth. If you want to be good at goodness, godliness, if you want to practice self-control, if you want to have loving faith, families, if you want to persevere, if you want to have self-control, then you've got to work at it. Amen? You've got to work at it. And if you don't mind me saying as your pastor this morning, if you want to grow in your faith, if you want to be more like Jesus, it takes more than an hour on Sunday morning. Are y'all listening? It means that you take God home with you. It means that you take him to where you work. It means you let him hang out in your marriage and in your hobbies and in your heart. Hey, look, I'm sorry. Nothing new from me today. I'm just reminding you of important things. And that is the job of the preacher sometimes. Oh, I look for new things to say, and every once in a while I get lucky. But a lot of this is what you've already heard. Goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, brotherly love, agape love. It's quite the list, and you know how to do it.